This is the CMA Champs-Élysées, the largest moving man-made object currently in existence. At exactly 400 meters long, she's capable of carrying 23,112 standard shipping containers. Fully laden, that much cargo would conservatively be worth $1.3 billion. The ship is so massive and can carry so much cargo that it creates a bit of an economic conundrum for itself. This vessel alone can move more goods than the nation of Bahrain imports in an entire month. And Bahrain is not exactly afraid of spending some cash. The Champs-Élysées is also just one of nine sister ships all currently roaming the world's oceans for CMA CGM, a family-owned French shipping company that itself is only the third largest merchant group in the world. In the last 7 years, 130 out of the largest 130 container ships in existence were launched. They are all exactly 400 meters long and operated by nine companies that have unofficially formed three alliances to divide up the world's oceans. Shipping is a terrible business. The upfront investment is huge, the margins are thin, the risks are immense, and this was all before the very future of global trade was called into question.
The shipping company wants to raise its rates by an average of 20% for the majority of cargo.
The report claims China is expected to reach a fleet size of 440 ships by the end of the decade.
Story about Jaguar Land Rover. The company is saying they're going to pause their shipments into the United States because of Donald Trump's tariffs.
Modern global shipping is an immensely complicated business, where navigating between international agreements, legal technicalities, corporate structures, and more than the occasional backroom handshake deal is as important as actually navigating the world's oceans. The clearest sign that international shipping operates just a little bit differently than most businesses is just practical corporate finance. Most of the world's largest companies are publicly traded, meaning if you wanted to, you could buy shares in them through one of the dozens of stock exchanges across the world. More specifically, most of the world's largest companies are listed on just two of these exchanges, the Nasdaq or the New York Stock Exchange. But in the business of shipping, America has been left behind. The United States technically has one of the largest merchant marine fleets in the world, but most of that is composed of small riverboats constructed to navigate its inland waterways. The Jones Act was a law passed in 1920 that required ships navigating between the US ports to be registered in the US, crewed by American sailors, insured by American companies, and comply with American naval standards. For riverboats moving cargo within the USA, there is really no practical way to get around these rules. But for large ocean-going vessels that move between countries by design, it's just simply not cost-effective to set up business in the USA. Today, global shipping is dominated by companies from Europe and Asia. All of them are either privately owned by families that trace their lineage back to the 19th century, or by a complex web of state-owned enterprises, development banks, and international agreements. In Europe, the biggest shipping companies are owned by a small handful of families from Switzerland, Denmark, and France. In Japan and South Korea, it's sprawling family conglomerates, and in China, it's a network of government authorities. The most valuable shipping company in the world today is Costco, not to be confused with the bulk discount store. Costco Shipping actually stands for the China Ocean Shipping Company Shipping. That's not lost in translation, it's actually because this company was formed in 2016 from a merger between the original Costco and China Shipping Group Company. They formed one of the rare companies that you can actually buy shares in, although public shareholders collectively only own 29% of the business. The rest is owned by Costco Shipping Hong Kong, which itself is owned by China Costco Shipping Corporation Limited. And yes, for those of you following along, that stands for the China Ocean Shipping Corporation Shipping Corporation Limited. It's a silly name, but it doesn't really matter because it's a state enterprise solely owned by the Chinese government for the singular purpose of having an entity to own the entity that owns the majority stake in one of the largest shipping fleets in the world. The government has made this investment because without them, nobody else would really want to. Ironically, public investment into global shipping was one of the first formal investment markets in the world. Merchant sailors in the Netherlands would offer investments in their voyage to the New World, which allowed speculators to, well, share in the profits of the tea and spice they brought back, if their journey was successful. Today, though, public investment in these companies is exceedingly rare for one simple reason. They are terrible investments. Over the last two decades, only a handful of smaller shipping companies have tried to go public the traditional way. They have all either gone bankrupt, been delisted, or changed industries entirely since going public. Shipping companies can go decades between profits, and they're at the mercy of global markets for fuel, raw materials, interest rates, and global trade. So then, where does all the money come from? Well, statistically, it comes from you. It sounds paradoxical, but most shipping companies are not in the shipping business, they're in the services business. Take Costco. It really has two primary business functions, global shipping and its shipping support services, which includes an agency to buy and sell secondhand ships, an insurance brokerage service, a marine parts supply company, marine fuel supplies, and marine coatings. Its general trading business also doesn't simply own a fleet of ships. Almost every individual ship sailing the world's oceans today, with the exception of government craft and very small fishing vessels, will be registered as its own individual company. In the maritime business, these are typically referred to as a special purpose company, and the special purpose is to keep the ship completely independent from the shipping company itself. The Mediterranean Shipping Company, or MSC, operates the largest merchant fleet in the world, but it's a family-owned business headquartered in Switzerland, a country not particularly famous for its maritime pursuits. Of course, this really doesn't matter because the primary shipping company itself acts more like a private equity fund that invests in other companies that actually operate the ships. When a shipping company wants to build a new ship, it will set up a new company in a business-friendly jurisdiction like Panama or Liberia. The main shipping company will capitalize the new special purpose company with a few million dollars that it can use as a down payment for a loan to commission the construction of a vessel. There are a few commercial banks that specialize in making loans to shipping companies the same way that regular banks make loans to you to buy a house. Firms like Mizuho in Japan, Lloyd's in London, BNP Paribas in France, and Macquarie Group from Australia are the key players in this market. They will lend up to 80% of the value of the ship, meaning that to buy something like the $200 million Champs-Élysées, CMG Group only needed to put down $40 million of their own money. The lender will wire the funds directly to the shipbuilder's bank and take the ship itself as collateral if the special purpose company doesn't repay its loan. These lenders make these loans and then bundle them up into maritime mortgage-backed securities and then either sell them to other large institutions or to pension funds that want an alternative fixed income investment. The ship will then be leased to a separate chartering company that will operate the vessel on behalf of one of the brand name shipping companies for a fee. This structure is used for every ship in the fleet, allowing companies to make a little bit of money go a long way through the power of leverage. Now, are you confused? Good. You have to remember that this is one of the more basic business structures that global shipping companies use. It gets significantly worse than this, and that complexity is largely by design. Even if the main company goes years without making a profit, every box on this chart employs thousands of people, has millions of dollars in expenses, and handles extremely valuable assets. For an entity like the Chinese government, all of this is an excuse to create economic activity across dozens of high-paying service sectors and ensure that their global exports have a reliable carrier to get to import markets the world over. For the conglomerates from Japan and South Korea, they can be the lender, shipbuilder, insurer, and carrier all at the same time. Shipping may not make that much money, but everything else is profitable. Ocean Network Express is owned in part by Mitsui OSK Lines, part of the informal Mitsui Group, which also operates Mitsui Engineering and Shipbuilding, and the Sumitomo Mitsui Banking Corporation, one of the largest ship lenders in the world. Just these three countries, Japan, South Korea, and China, now control over 90% of the world's shipbuilding. This is a highly valuable industry, not only in terms of the revenue it can generate for these countries, but also the strategic importance it gives them. Over a long enough time horizon, it would become very hard to win trade war with a country that can simply deny you the most vital tools of global trade. And as for the European shipping families, they may not have domestic shipbuilding industries of their own, but they've taken manufactured complexity to a new extreme. Every transaction and deal in a company they control is an opportunity to take just a little bit of cash off the table for themselves. Maersk, for example, has so many subsidiaries, running so many operations in so many countries, that it's simply beyond the capacity of any single person to fully understand. Every tugboat company or provisioning business is an opportunity to make fractions of percent in an industry that handles trillions of dollars every year, legitimately or otherwise. These businesses operate in so many legal jurisdictions that even if what they were doing wasn't technically legal, it would be almost impossible to find out. And governments aren't in a rush to crack down on it because it's a necessary evil to keep global trade functioning. So then the next question is, if operating container ships loses money, but all of the businesses surrounding the shipping operations make up for it, then why don't these companies just stop shipping and focus on those profitable businesses instead? Well, unfortunately for them, some of these businesses simply don't work without the cash flows generated from shipping. To profit from a business with a lot of expenses, it needs a lot of revenue, and a container ship can easily charge more than $60 million for every transatlantic journey at today's shipping rates. That's a lot of cash that can find its way into the right places. Ships are also a fantastic asset to pull some financial shenanigans with. Because they can move anywhere in the world, they can be registered in low-tax jurisdictions, but expenses can be claimed by the primary company back in Europe or Asia, offsetting the profits from the other businesses. Now, this sounds bad, but these expenses also include things like depreciation. A company that spends $200 million on a ship can claim that it's losing $20 million in value every year. And even though that doesn't directly take $20 million out of their pocket, they can still count it as an expense on their taxes. Ships are a large asset that are bought and sold frequently, so once they're paid off, they can be remortgaged with a cash-out refinance to give money to the business in a nice, tax-efficient manner. So even if they aren't that profitable, they're an effective way to get access to nice, cheap finance, kind of like an investment property for modern European aristocracy or Eastern conglomerates. However, clever finance can only get a business so far, and if the entire industry grinds to a halt because, oh, I don't know, global trade is in shutdown, then all of those ships that have been commissioned over the last 7 years are going to be competing with each other for an increasingly small amount of global freight. 3 years ago, when these ships were being launched, interest rates on maritime loans were below 2%, and companies could charge record prices to move cargo around the world. Times were good, but now interest rates are 3 times higher than they were back then, and nobody knows what to expect next. Now, these companies always have one last option. Even if the shipping business grinds to a halt, they still have investments in a stockpile of natural materials. They just so happen to be in the shape of a ship, so if you thought that the life of a ship was a dirty business, watch this video to learn about the death of a ship. And make sure to subscribe for more micro stories with big impacts.